This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Crazy Democrats and Obama says, hold the crazy. Let's hold the crazy. Hide the crazy. Hide them away like you hide away that drunk uncle at Thanksgiving dinner. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. I appreciate you being here every day. So thank you so much for joining us. Big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Dr. Mike is the man, and he's going to give you the beautiful smile that you deserve, because that's what you need, is a great smile. So former President Barack Obama telling House Democrats the party should focus on the midterms and not ideological divides. Okay, let's translate that, shall we? Let's translate that for you. They had an event Sunday in Los Angeles trying to figure out how to win control of the House of Representatives. You remember the vampiric one? Nancy Pelosi said, I think our chances of winning are 100%. I have no doubts. Now, she's been around a long time. She also made $400 million as a member of Congress, so she's very cocky and arrogant. Obama, though, not so much. He's very worried that the crazy has completely taken over his party and that the crazy is going to wind up costing them the midterms and probably the White House as well. So in a polite, respectful way, he's trying to say to them, hide your Zoram Amdanis, hide your Jasmine Crockett's, hide your people that are all front and center in the news every single day, the people that you hear from day in and day out. How is that possible? How is that even possible? You know what I mean? These people are sucking the oxygen out of the room every single day, where they are all over TV and constantly talking about what? Impeaching Trump, locking up Trump, taking away, locking up ICE agents, impeaching cabinet secretaries. I mean, it's nonstop. It's nonstop. So when you hear all that, you have to say to yourself, well, how do you hide that? How do you hide that crazy exactly? How does that work? And the answer is you can't. It doesn't work. That crazy is going to be around for a long, long time. And Obama knows this. You know, I mean, he knows that. He knows there's nothing to do about it. He's trying to effectively say to the party leadership and the donors, the mega donors and everybody else, hey, we got to step in here and do something about this. But it's like I said this morning on America's Newsroom, the war is over and the crazies won. I mean, it's over, Johnny. The crazies are in charge. They won. They are. It's their party now. And, you know, and whether Barack Obama wants to acknowledge that or not, from their perspective, they're turning around and they're like, okay, boomer, or whatever it is the kids say today. They want the Mamdanis. They want the Jasmine Crockett's. They want the crazy. The crazier, the better from their perspective. And so when you've got people like Charlamagne the God out there saying, you should make Jasmine Crockett, you should elevate her, she's the voice that we should be elevating, that's exactly what I mean. And you've got other people in the universe of this. When that former Saturday Night Live actress, Leslie Jones, says we should be locking up ICE agents, this is the mainstream of the Democrat party. It's in the culture. It's jumped from simply politics. Now, they always say politics is downstream of culture. Well, culture now is embracing socialism, and it's which Democrat can say the craziest things, sound the most like Trump, over the top, and get the most attention. It really is all about that. It's about getting the most attention on social media for a lot of these people. And so when you think about people like Jasmine Crockett and others, you understand that for the Democrat Party right now, they can do one of two things. The superdelegates, the donors, the money people can jump in, try to back other candidates. The problem with that, though, is you may motivate your base even more. You may motivate the crazy base even more to fight and come out. And they know that. So they're trying to do this little dance, you know, this little ideological dance, and it doesn't work for them because of that fact. Look, what would you do if you're them right now? And you know that the energy, the momentum, all of it is with Ilhan Omar. It's not with John Fetterman. You know, John Fetterman's the outlier here who they want a primary. They want to primary John Fetterman and take him out. That's what they want to do. So if you know that the energy is with people like AOC and you know the energy is with people like Ilhan Omar and the others, what exactly do you do? Nothing. You sit back and you watch the party. You get some popcorn. Open up a nice bottle of Tomasello wine. Which, thanks again to my buddy Jack Tomasello, sent me some really beautiful, beautiful wines from Tomasello Winery today. Didn't need to do that. He just did it. And, you know, side topic, we had a great conversation, he and I, regarding marijuana. And, you know, the president's going to move the marijuana off Schedule 1, which he, for scientific and medical purposes, I'm fine with that. And look, you do you. I mean, you want to use pot, whatever. I'm not a prohibitionist, but... in reading a lot about it, it's very clear that there's a lot of links to some problems if it's abused, you know, psychosis and other things like anything else in life. I mean, it's, you know, probably fine in moderation for a lot of people. You know, our buddy Tony Minniti, that's their dispensary, you know, and he's talked about miracle cures for people from pain and other things. And this debate will go on and on and on. I know that there's also a war on alcohol right now. Everybody's trying to convince everybody that wine is the worst thing in the world for you, and beer and wine will kill you and all these other things. And, you know, I wonder how much of that is pushed by an industry. And then how much the alcohol industry pushes back on the marijuana industry by pushing out information saying that that's really bad for you. I don't know. It goes back and forth. But it's not going to be solved by banning anything. I mean, we know that bans don't work, and we know that. And I have no doubts that there's probably some miracle cures waiting out there that the pharmaceutical industry has tried very, very hard to keep from coming to the light of day. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. I think we all would agree on that point. But anyway, so I was saying, you know, if you're sitting around the table and you've got crazy people in the room and you've got people like Bernie Sanders sucking all the oxygen out of the room, where do you have left for moderates and moderation and all these other things? You know, Bernie Sanders right now, for example, is pushing for a moratorium on AI data center construction. He doesn't want to see any new AI data centers. Why? Because they're all billionaires and oligarchs who are behind all this. That's why. And Bernie doesn't want that. Bernie doesn't like the idea that oligarchs and billionaires are turning around and they're making money off of AI. So what does Bernie want to do? He wants to ban it. That's what he wants to do. Wants to turn around and say to the oligarchs, you can't have AI. I mean, you talk about being a prohibitionist, a prohibition on AI data centers. I mean, AI is bringing us into the future. AI is bringing us into the future, and Bernie Sanders wants to ban it. Just, I mean, think about that. Because he doesn't like the fact that people are getting rich off of it.
Let us be clear. AI and robotics are the most transformative technologies in the history of humanity and will have a profound impact on the lives of every man, woman, and child in our country.
Not that broads know how to use robotics. Personally, Bernie's looking for an AI broad. I've heard a lot about these. I've heard that they are quite luxurious.
Sorry.
Just a few points. Just a few points
to
be thinking about.
Okay, let's think about it.
One. Who is aggressively pushing these technologies?
Let me guess.
Well, surprise, surprise. It happens to be the very wealthiest people on Earth.
Oh.
People like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Peter Thiel, Bill Gates, and other multi-billionaires.
You're not going to call them oligarchs?
So here is a very...
See, I honestly think Bernie wakes up in the middle of the night and just starts screaming, Elon Musk! Elon Musk! Oh, it's a nightmare. A nightmare. I thought I was floating in oligarch money. I really do. He's just obsessed with these guys. Come on, where's the O word? Give us the O word.
Very simple question I'd like you to think about.
Go ahead.
Do you believe that these guys, these multi-billionaires, are staying up nights worrying about what AI and robotics will do to the working families of our country and the world?
So what's the answer here then? If AI and robotics are going to take jobs away, but we know that AI and robotics are coming anyway, what's the answer? Well, like a typical government bureaucrat, hack, socialist, the answer is ban it and don't let it happen. See if you can use the power of government to stifle the innovation. That's, I mean, right? Am I wrong? Well, let's find out if I'm wrong, shall we?
Well, I don't think so. I think that these very, very rich men want even more wealth and even more power. And for a whole bunch of reasons, that is very dangerous. Number two. What will AI and robotics mean economically for the working class of this country? Well, don't listen to me. Listen to the people who are developing those technologies. Elon Musk recently said, quote, AI and robots will replace all jobs.
Robots.
Working will be optional, end quote. Bill Gates predicted.
Isn't that what socialists like Bernie have always wanted? That working would be optional? Isn't that what he's always wanted? All these guys. Work would be optional. You'd get some kind of a living wage, as they called it. You know, enough to just let you float by for a little bit. And then off the backs of the people that actually do work and do produce things. And look, if all these predictions are true, it doesn't change the fact that other countries around the world are going forward with AI and robotics. And I've always said I want our AI to be able to beat their AI. If robots were fighting, I want our robots to fight their robots. That's how I look at it.
That humans, quote,
and win.
Won't be needed for most things, end quote. Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic, warned that AI could lead to the loss of half of all entry-level white-collar jobs. Question. If AI and robotics eliminate millions of jobs and create massive unemployment, how will people survive if they have no income? And I don't want to break the bad news to you. I know it won't shock you. But very few members of Congress are seriously thinking about this.
All right, Bernie. It's a scary proposition. Instead of AI making life better, instead of robotics making things better, instead of technology improving things, let's do what the left has done forever and try to scare us about how technology is going to be the end of times. You know, we've heard this before. This is not new. Every technological advancement has always been greeted with somebody on the left telling us why it will be the end of times. You know, there was that famous bet we've talked about on the show before about whether or not technology would improve people's lives or would destroy people's lives. It's a bet made by two college professors. And I think we can all agree technology has made things better. People live longer. People are, for the most part, healthier, happier. Life expectancy is up. I mean, nowadays, if somebody dies when they're 80, people are like, man, so young. There was a joke on Seinfeld, which is a show that was on in what, the 80s and 90s? I mean, the 90s for the most part, right? One of Kramer's friends died at 94, I think. And he was like, that'll make you think. Nowadays, if somebody dies at 94, you're like, man, what was he doing wrong? He didn't hit triple digits. We're almost expecting now the idea that, I mean, my kids will be able to live to be 125 years old. I mean, that's kind of the thinking. I don't know what that means for retirement accounts. And it's certainly not going to help if you keep falling off ladders, Ron. But I don't think the fear-mongering and the fear-factoring helps anybody. But these guys don't believe the human potential is to come up with new innovation and new industries. And they just think that if AI comes along and replaces the factory, the assembly line, which was replaced by technology many, many years ago, that's it. People are all going to walk around starving, killing each other. It's all going to be Mad Max. It's the same story we've heard play out over and over and over again. Now, there is a point that he does make a good point about, and that's with our kids and isolation. But it's also the same fear-mongering that was done when the Atari came out. No, I'm serious about this. When Atari came out and when Nintendo came out and when video games were going to destroy and rot kids' brains. And I hear the same fear factor, fear-mongering all the time. You know what rots kids' brains? Bad parenting. Because when it snowed on Sunday, my son didn't play his Xbox. He met his buddies at the park and they went sledding. And we took our girls to the park and they went sledding. And the only time there was a device that was on was when we turned on the TV a little bit later to watch a Christmas movie because everybody was freezing cold. And my son was still out sledding until all hours of the night. He goes and rides bikes with his friends. If parents are engaged with their kids and not just saying, all right, be on a device the whole time. Yeah, but we've been, it's the same. A movie will rot your brain. TV will rot your brain. I mean, when the TV first came out, they used to call it the boob tube. Said that would be the end of civilization. So Bernie's warning about children in isolation, which is a warning, a fear mongering I hear from people on the right all the time, too. Kids today, these kids, you know, they're not going to make it. Because they don't know how to have human relationships. Well, then get them off the phones and get them off the devices and make them go out and play. But again, what is the government going to do about that? I mean, that's already out of the woods. We're watching Bernie Sanders. I'm playing a clip of him on a video that he made that he posted to social media. Think about the irony of this. You have a U.S. senator warning us about the dangers of technology on a video that he posted to social media, warning us about social media. All these people that are warning about social media and be the end of days and our kids are all going to marry robots and we won't reproduce anymore. They're all posting these things on Instagram and TikTok. I'm just saying. I think the answer is good parenting when you make sure that when it's a snow day, your kids go out and play. That's why I'm a big proponent of snow days. If it snows, close school. Let the kids go out and play in the winter. Let them get some sunshine, get some vitamin D. It's great. Good. We don't need Zoom classrooms on snow days. It snows. We go old school Gen X style. School's shut down for the day. The books get put away and the kids go out and play. Help your dad shovel the snow and then go sled. That is what we should do. Too many school districts today. It snows. They go, we're going virtual. Virtual? We didn't do that when I was a kid because we couldn't do that when I was a kid. So yeah, start with that. Start with that. Get your friends at the teachers' unions to all agree that on a snow day, the school actually closes. Now, I know there are some parents at work that might not like that. But then again, if your kids are home on virtual Zoom, what are you going to do anyway? You still have to deal with them. You can't just go to work. You're still stuck. So wouldn't it be better to be stuck with them outside playing in the snow, at least if you got to be home because your kids are home, versus them sitting on a computer, which then they're going to get distracted and do other things. That's my personal opinion. But here's Bernie's answer.
Something I worry about a whole lot, and that is that millions of kids in this country are becoming more and more isolated from real human relationships and are getting their emotional support from AI. Think for a moment about a future when human beings are not interacting with each other and are spending virtually all of their time with devices instead of people.
I know, I agree. So don't let them do that. Because what's your answer? You're going to ban devices? You're going to ban? So I know there's ideas of banning social media. But ban it till they're 16. Okay, great. So then when they're 16, they start doing it. Now they're exposed to something they've never been exposed to before, and they don't stop doing it. And what happens when kids go to college? And then what are you going to do? You're going to ban anything with a screen? What is the government's solution to this? Other than Bernie just doesn't want to see people make money off of AI because it's going to, in my opinion, it's actually going to be good for the economy. It's going to be good for capitalism. And that's really, I think, what the problem is here. Is he really worried about our kids? Huh? Is Bernie the Red really that worried about our children and their mental health and their future? And here's the kicker. Ready? Here comes the government solution. Here comes the big commie with his government answer to AI. As you can imagine, it's the government trying to get in the way and stop it and slow it down. Literally, that's what he says.
But one thing is for sure. This process is moving very, very quickly. And we need to slow it down. We need all of our people involved in determining the future of AI, and not just a handful of multi-billionaires.
Oligarchs.
That is oligarchs. Why, for a start,
oligarchs.
I will be pushing for a moratorium on the construction of data centers that are powering this unregulated sprint to develop and deploy AI.
Great. So we'll put a moratorium on our AI and our data centers here in the United States. You think China will follow? Do you think other countries around the world will follow our moratorium? Right. Right. Of course not. But let's have the government come in and stop this. The other reason, of course, why they hate these data centers, as you know, is the massive amounts of energy that they require. Oh, and they hate that. Because it also proves that wind and solar don't work, because wind and solar can't power AI data centers. You need nuclear. You need natural gas. You need actual fuel. You need actual energy. So the other reason why they hate that is because it requires energy, and it proves that their green scam is full of crap. Because if Microsoft could have powered an AI data center with wind farms, they wouldn't have needed to reopen Three Mile Island, the reactor there. They wouldn't have had to do that. But go ahead, Bernie.
This moratorium will give democracy a chance to catch up with the transformative changes that we are witnessing and make sure that the benefits of these technologies work for all of us, not just the wealthiest people on Earth.
A moratorium. A moratorium on technology and AI and AI development. The mindset of people like him, the mindset that that's what government can do, that government can jump in and government can just turn around and government can just say, we'll slow something down. We'll just, yeah, we'll just do that. Slow it down. We can do that. That's what we can do. And to think that people would actually follow that, it's just amazing to me. It really is. It's amazing to me that they think that that's what would happen. That all of a sudden everybody would just turn around and say, all right, around the world, we'll stop. We'll stop too. We'll all put a moratorium on this. It's bad for our kids. Our kids are watching too much online videos. So we'll just stop it. It's laughable. But this is what you get from people like Bernie Sanders. All right, a lot more to come in our fourth and final hour. The president addresses the nation tonight. What will he say? And is it going to be a victory lap? Will it be a rally speech? Will it be a the best is yet to come kind of speech? What will we learn from the president's address to the nation tonight? As we continue here, don't forget, Friday, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, and you better be there. I want to see you there. It's going to be a blast. It's our last live show of the year. It's my last show of the year. You better join us. 3 to 7 p.m. Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You do not need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. Just come to the show. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. I want to see you there. All right? Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Now, look, I do think there are going to be ramifications for AI in every area. I certainly do. Government can't stop that. That's just the nature of life. And I mean, it's when Henry Ford made the automobile something that the masses could afford, it was the end of the coach and buggy. I mean, podcasting is changing how we consume audio. It's life. It happens. The Wall Street Journal had a piece about that today. The corporate arms race for dominance in artificial intelligence is on. This year, American large tech firms will spend about $400 billion on AI infrastructure. NVIDIA, the CEO there, estimated that $3 trillion to $4 trillion will be spent on AI infrastructure by the end of the decade. And some predict that artificial general intelligence, a stage of development when AI can match or exceed the cognitive abilities of human beings, is only a few years away. The largest AI companies are vying to reach that milestone first and reap unimaginable returns. Yeah. But the focus on artificial general intelligence obscures where the AI revolution is moving even faster. Advertising. Google, Meta, Amazon are spending hundreds of billions on AI to defend and further build their advertising businesses. At their core, Google and Meta, and to a lesser extent Amazon, are advertising behemoths. Last year, Google earned 78% of its $346 billion in revenue from advertising. Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, 98% of its $164 billion advertising. Amazon, $56 billion. Together, these three companies raked in nearly half of the $1 trillion in ad spending worldwide. Worldwide. I mean, think about that. You get inundated with ads on Instagram. To me, that's probably the most annoying platform. I'll be watching somebody's story, and the next thing I know, somebody's advertising a product that parents say will keep their kids off devices forever. This product cured my kid's ADD. It's and they know what we're looking at, and they know what we're watching, and they know all this, and you know, it's kind of a fool's errand to think you can hide from them, because they monitor what you're watching, what shows you watch. I mean, really, they do research on this, that if you watch certain kinds of programming, you're more likely to buy these products. If you watch, you know, Landman, you're probably more likely to want to drive a truck or an SUV. If you watch White Lotus, you're probably more likely to buy a handbag or something. I don't know. I mean, America's mother-in-law said it was her favorite show. So now I can never watch it again. But no, they know it's everything. It's not just simply your search history. Like years ago, we thought it was. And DuckDuckGo came along and made everything, gave you the ability to have privacy and not get tracked and everything. And it was great. Except when you watch a show on Amazon, Amazon has an algorithm to figure out based on your viewing history, what products they're more likely to show you on Amazon, based on what you watch. And the minute you buy one thing, you know what happens. You get all these other things, other examples of things that, and there's always that creepy moment where you're having a conversation with somebody, and the next thing you know, you see an ad on your phone for the very thing that you talked about or in the subject you talked about, because our phones are also listening. You know, I don't have that feature on my phone where you can say, hey, blank, the name of Apple's artificial intelligence, and it just automatically. And this, but don't fool yourself. You know as well as I do, these things are always listening. Our TVs are Chinese-made spy machines in our house. They're no longer entertainment devices, if you have a smart one. And if you don't have a smart one, if you're still doing old-school cable, you're winning for now. But now the goal is to get you off cable. They don't want you on cable anymore. They want you to cut the cord. And there was a time when Comcast and these other companies were fighting that, and then they realized how much money could be made in streaming, and they realized how much money could be made by getting the data of streaming consumers, and they decided, let's go forward with this, and let's get people off of the cord. Because if you just are watching on old-school cable, it's very difficult for them to track you, to know exactly what you're watching, and then to gauge your viewing habits based on an algorithm. And if you don't believe me, there's a little test I did today before the show as I was preparing for this, and it kind of goes like this. What products are you more likely to buy if you watch White Lotus? If you watch The White Lotus, especially as a fan of the show's style, humor, and luxury travel vibe, you're more likely to be interested in buying products that let you express your fandom or channel the show's aesthetic into your wardrobe, home, and everyday life. The show has inspired real-world collections and branded collabs across fashion, accessories, beauty, home goods, and quirky merch. And they have all kinds of fan things and everything like this. But they also say this, in addition, resort and travel wear, resort style fashion collections from H&M, Abercrombie & Fitch, Bloomingdale's, Banana Republic, and more, including breezy dresses, tropical prints, swimwear, sunglasses, and lightweight knitwear. Home and decor, scented candles, ergo cucumber and white sage. That's a thing. I didn't know that was a thing. Tropical inspired throw pillows, bedding, at home accents, accents that echo luxury resort aesthetics. Beauty and travel essentials, limited edition skincare and sun care kits, ergo super goop and Kiehl's designed to evoke a tropical getaway. So you're going to get, if you watch that show, they're going to start profiling and pushing all these brands towards you just based on that. So you wonder why Amazon's in the TV business, why Apple's in the TV business, why all of these companies are in these businesses. Because they want the consumers where they are. They want the consumers watching their shows. They want the consumer data from that. And then they want to sell them things. It's the bottom line. And no competitor can offer what these AI platforms can provide. AI-powered ad creation integrated with access to billions of users and decades of data. Advertisers get better campaign performances. Nielsen tracked more than 1 million performance campaigns and found, for example, that AI-powered campaigns on YouTube delivered 17% higher returns. Google reports that advertisers using AI-powered search campaigns typically see 14% more conversions at a similar cost. Improved results lock advertisers into these platforms, which in turn learn and improve with every campaign. Now, again, I am not endorsing Bernie Sanders. Slow this down with a government mandate. I'm just telling you the reality of things. Ad creation has traditionally been the purview of Madison Avenue. You think about Mad Men, which, by the way, if you watch Mad Men, you're probably more likely to buy bourbon and rocks glasses. And I'm sure there's a whole algorithm to that, too. But smaller companies like restaurants, shops, mom and pop businesses can afford to produce ads they couldn't before because of AI. Large advertisers often need smaller ad teams that can run multiple new ad campaigns. A majority of Google's advertisers reportedly use Performance Max. So these big Madison Avenue firms and everything like this that would have photographers, videographers, artists, animators, voice actors, sound designers, set designers, copywriters, editors, translators, et cetera, you don't need any of that anymore because AI has eliminated 25% of the freelancers that are necessary for that kind of work. And it makes sense if you think about it, right? I was talking about this the other day with some friends of mine. And in terms of political advertising, you know, in the old days of political advertising, you would go into a firm. They would have an entire bank of people editing commercials and making all these things and printing mailers. And that's all going to be gone now as AI transforms the political landscape of this as well. The demand for real pictures is also falling. Photographers are struggling as well. Adobe Firefly creates commercially safe AI-generated images, video, audio, and vector graphics. Companies like Adobe, Midjourney, and 11 Labs generate billions of digital assets that can be fed into systems that create, test, and display ads. Adobe Firefly. Think about that for a second. The biggest winners in all of this will be Google, Meta, Amazon, and all these other things as well. Now, as you are moving consumers away from cable and then onto streaming platforms, then the advertising is also going to streaming platforms as well and not in the traditional forms of cable and other things like that. But it enables smaller companies to be able to generate those Instagram ads that you watch all the time for peanuts compared to what they would have to spend if they went to an ad firm, sat down with them, had people write up mock-ups of what the campaign's going to look like, and then generate that and go through the trials. And you can create this stuff in seconds now. Now, I look at that as a benefit for small businesses. I really do. A lot of small businesses can't afford to advertise or couldn't afford to advertise because a lot of it was the creation of the advertisement itself. And now that's kind of gone away. So there's an upside right there to artificial intelligence. All right, President Trump's speech tonight, what is he going to say? What's he going to talk about? We'll preview a little bit of it for you as we get ready to turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. It's his birthday today, by the way. I gave him an AI-generated bottle of bourbon for his birthday. No, I gave him a real bottle of bourbon, but still, it might as well have been AI. That'd be nice when AI can create bourbon for me. Can't find Buffalo Trace. Although somebody sent me a text the other day that they had it at a store near me. That was very nice of them to do. But no, that'll be nice, right? AI generated booze. All right, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
President's going to talk about the economy tonight. I like the idea of being honest and saying it takes time to get us out of the mess, the hole that was created by the Biden administration with their war on energy. And that's exactly what we're talking about here as we get ready for this. It's the point I made this morning. Just be honest with people. Tell them it takes time. They will get that. If you tell them everything is great and hunky-dory and they don't feel it, they're not going to believe that. And that's what the mistake the Biden administration made in a big, big way. Speaker Mike Johnson said today the Trump accounts will reverse the real mess of Bidenomics. I'm excited about this for my kids.
When President Trump came in and this Republican Congress took over in January with the new administration, we inherited a real mess. We had 4 years of Bidenomics, and we all know what that did to people's pocketbooks, to their outlook on the economy, and to their real experience in having to suffer through record high levels of inflation, lower wages, and less opportunity. So when we took the reins of power, we were determined to fix all of that. We had to fix virtually every area of public policy, and we got to work on it. And the result was that big, beautiful bill, aptly named by the president, also known as the Working Families Tax Cut, because that's what we achieved. We got real economic relief on the way for the American people. The largest tax cut in U.S. history, largest savings of taxpayers' dollars at the same time, by the way. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, real relief for seniors on Social Security, all the other big benefits in the bill. But among all those features, one that I think will be have a lasting effect, truly lasting effect on the economy and the financial stability of individuals in our country at large, is the Trump account.
Now, Ray Dalio signed on to those as well today. And they have a new website, TrumpAccounts.gov. Trump accounts jumpstart the American dream. We're building long-term financial security for millions of children by creating tax advantage investment accounts for U.S. citizens under the age of 18 coming in 2026. The account is fully in your child's name, and you are the sole custodian until they turn 18. Get $1,000 for every American child born between January 1st, 2025 and December 3rd. Oh, I guess I'm out. My kids were not born between those dates. Oh, well. No contributions necessary, but you can deposit up to $5,000 per year to maximize growth. Enroll your child by making an election when you file your taxes. A financial institution will receive your funds and activate your account. Sit back and watch the money grow, contribute anytime or not. Big things start with small steps. And that's good. Wait, so it's only for kids born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028. Damn it! Never mind. Doesn't affect me, so I'm not happy about it. Here's Secretary Scott Bessent talking about the Trump accounts and what it's going to mean for the future.
Eligible children born between January 1, 2025 and December 31, 2028 will receive a $1,000 contribution from the Treasury Department that will immediately be invested in an index fund. To claim this investment, most families need merely check a box on Form 4547, the most aptly named tax document of all time. The compound growth from Treasury's initial seed funding alone stands to make young Americans wealthy. The S&P has grown at a rate of 10.5% each year on average since the 1950s. Assuming that growth rate continues, a single $1,000 deposit into a Trump account at birth will grow to over $600,000 by the age of retirement. Our president is putting the American dream within reach of every citizen, no matter the circumstances of birth. When young Americans turn 28, they can use their Trump accounts to keep saving for their retirement, or they can use them to purchase a home or further their education. Two hallmarks of the American dream. Trump accounts will benefit from the compound growth of Treasury's initial seed funding, but they can also benefit from outside donations. Starting on July 4th, our nation's 250th anniversary, parents, family members, employers, and friends will be able to contribute up to $5,000 to each Trump account each year. By contributing the maximum amount each year, the Council of Economic Advisors estimates that a child's Trump account would be worth more than $1 million by the time they turn 28.
Huge. Huge. And that's going to get parents excited. All those suburban moms we keep talking about is the battle for the suburban mom vote. That's going to get them excited. No doubt about that. Because they love their kids. They love their kids and they love to make sure that their kids are happy and their kids are making money. They like that. That's good. So there you go. Good stuff indeed. We'll see what the president has to say tonight, and we'll certainly give you all the play-by-play tomorrow on the show. In the meantime, have a great rest of your night tonight. Thank you for watching, and I appreciate you being part of it. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli, and do so today and every day. Keep the conversation going, and let's do that, all right? Because it's important that we keep chatting. I think it's fun, and never want to give that up. Ever. Can't do that. Can't let that happen. All right, have a great rest of your night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.